It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
This is Packs What She Said. Now, here's Perry Goldstein and Maggie Loney.
Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And this week, as we teased, we did make it happen. We have a very special guest, one of our favorite people in the Packer sphere. You know him from Cheesehead TV and a ton of other places, but it's Aaron Agler. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be on Packs What She Said. Look at this juggernaut podcast taking on the Packers blogosphere. I love it. I love it. So happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. It's been too long.
Yeah,
we got to make this a regular thing.
I'm down with that.
We wanted to have you on because you just got back from Indianapolis.
I did.
I saw your, must post New York City skyline whenever you return to New York, just like a true New Yorker must.
Got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it. Relatable. I was like, oh, he's back. You got to let the people know that you're back in New York.
I am back on New York
soil. You were in Indy for the combine. Mm-hmm. I think, so neither Maggie, you've never been, right?
No.
Combine? No. So neither of us have been, and I'm sure a lot of people listening haven't either. So like before we dive into players, et cetera, like, can you just like give everybody listening, like lay of the land, like what's the combine like days, schedule, vibe? I hear it's like a lot of socializing, a lot of like, off-camera stuff.
Yeah. So. Right. I will say, I think it's interesting because it really depends on what you're there for. There's zero question that the most valuable networking stuff happens late at night in the bars and in the restaurants and what have you. And some of that is kind of predetermined as far as, hey, you want to grab a beer, you want to grab you want to have dinner together. Cause that happens. I had a dinner with a couple agents and you definitely, meet people or run into people. There's lots of people I know in the business that I see out, and people who work for the Packers or other teams from back in my days when I was a Sports Illustrated or a Bleacher Report and covering the league, you end up knowing a lot of people, right? So you do kind of get into a rhythm and a groove where during the day, yes, you're, and they've changed it over the years, but now for the last number of years, it's been, during the day you are in the convention center. It used to be you were in Lucas Oil, but now you're in the convention center all day, and they have two separate spots. One is a humongous ballroom where they have tons of tables set up for basically the print media. It's lots of people who work for newspapers or websites who only need to write. And it's very quiet in there. And then there's another section where they host all the interviews for all the prospects, all the coaches, GMs. And alongside that, they have kind of a mini radio row, which has actually grown quite a bit over the last kind of 10 years or so, very much like they have at the Super Bowl. And that's kind of telling, right? That's the whole point of the combine now from the NFL's perspective, because look, I understand lots of people kind of poo-poo or dismiss or scoff at the combine and the event of it, right? And the television programming of it, because that is what the NFL wants. It wants a tentpole event in the middle of the offseason that obviously it's not going to be as big as the draft, but it certainly drives eyeballs and it certainly drives interest. And the more of that, the better. They have the shortest, or I'm sorry, the longest offseason of any major sport. They yeah. want their kind of brand in the headlines as much as possible. And the combine allows them to do that. But on the ground, when you're there covering it, it is really easy to kind of remember that, look, the teams are there to kind of fill out a spreadsheet, right? It's information gathering. You know, all that athletic testing, the 40s, the three-cone drill, all of it is just, you know, putting information in a box. That's all they're doing. The big part of it is what you're talking about there, the networking, getting the scuttlebutt, getting kind of like who's doing what. And you hear from teams and you hear from players and agents and what have you. It all kind of gets thrown into the mix where I think we've already seen coming out of it. You do get some headlines kind of head scratching, like, okay, this is what I'm hearing in Indy. Okay. But who did you hear it from?
Yeah,
I think any of that rumor mongering that you hear coming out of Indy, you do have to take with a grain of salt. But on the flip side, when you start next week where they have the, you know, negotiating window that opens up on Monday, and inevitably we see deals signed the moment that happens, like I think it's at noon, right? And then at 12:01, so-and-so has agreed with the Colts on a 4-year deal. Well, I guarantee you that conversation began during the combine. In those bars, in those restaurants, between agents and personnel people. So it's just a great kind of vibe for a week for the NFL world. Some of it's more important than others, but there's no doubt that it is important on the NFL landscape.
So you're saying that Tom Brady actually is unretiring and playing with the Miami Dolphins?
That's one of those that I would say put a grain of salt next to it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Nice one, Meg. I have so many questions. It's just such an interesting event to me because you're right. There is like what the fans get, which is like you turn it on and you get to watch and you're scrolling through Twitter and you get all these like highlight reels of like players who run a really fast 40 or like that tight end who had that crazy catch that I can't remember his name at the moment.
Darnell Washington.
That was like art. Like, the still of that.
It was crazy. It was beautiful. And it's fun because it's been like this drought since the Super Bowl and even longer for fans who didn't have playoff football of like, oh my God, football activities. This is so exciting. But like at the same time, like this is kind of just a business, like status quo.
Oh, it's a business meeting. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you get like, you know, Goot has to go up there and give his presser and he's probably dreading it because he knows exactly what kind of questions he's going to get. And, and all that. So it's interesting to hear that there's, I like that there's like a little radio row and it's growing. It sounds like the,
I want to say it was kind of non-existent even 5 years ago. I mean, there were, it was very minimal, like a few tables. And now it is very much like radio. Obviously it's nowhere near as big as the Super Bowl, but there are lots of the teams have their kind of digital people there, tons of radio stations set up there for the week. And I'm telling you, man, I wish the Packers would do it. That'd be great. But it's a growing, burgeoning kind of scene because, look, I think you've hit it, the nail on the head. It is a bit of a drought, right? You've gone, 19 weeks, 20 weeks in a row with football, maybe even more. And then all of a sudden there's nothing. And I know the XFL is kicking off and whatever, but as far as NFL football, you've got nothing. It's like going through withdrawals and then suddenly, bang, there it is. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Getting ready for the draft. It's in that aspect, it's great. It's perfect.
Do coaches, and I did see, I don't know if this was just Packers specific, but it seemed like it was more, you know, league wide, that less and less coaches are going because they just get the tape. And so it's because the interviews, you want to meet with these players in person, right? Now COVID's over, you don't do these Zoom interviews anymore. Like you get to go and have those interviews and the players now have to like speak to the media. But like everything else, like Matt can just get the film and he doesn't really need to be there. Was that like as prevalent or is that just a Packer thing?
It's been coming for a while now. It's funny because there's a clip of me asking Goody about it last year because Sean McVay had stayed away last season. And that was after a few other staffs had stayed away. And I said, like, do you value what Matt does here? And, you know, Brian gave his best, you know, kind of, I don't want to say BS answer, but he did say, oh, we really value what they do here. Now you fast forward to this season and it's like, oh, Matt and his staff are staying home. Right. I do get it. I think there's a lot more value in whatever they're doing kind of scheme wise, right? Self-scouting wise at 1265 Lombardi, rather than, I understand that it is valuable for these guys to get some face to face time with these prospects. But ultimately, they're not the ones making the decisions. The personnel group are the people that are putting together the draft board and making the call, Goody essentially making the call to draft these kids. And it's like, great, I hope you had a nice time. I hope you had a nice connection with the kid. But ultimately, regardless of whatever your personal feelings are about the guy as a coach, you're going to have to coach whoever they draft.
Whoever they pick, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. And there's still a little bit of it. Goody mentioned when we talked to him that there's still Zoom interviews and some of the kind of 45 official visits, et cetera. And the staff, the coaching staff will be involved with some of that. But, you know, traditionally in the past, the coaches had been down on the field during some of the informal stuff prior to the warmups and the workouts. And now, you know, the area scouts and some of the lower end personnel people are doing those. The staff will still have an opportunity a little bit, but ultimately, really outside of the face-to-face stuff, do the coaches have, is there any benefit in them sitting there at Lucas Oil Stadium watching these guys run the 40, do a three cone drill, watch a quarterback throw, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a week of these guys being away from the facility and being in those bars and restaurants I was talking about and really not doing much else. And they're not, and they're being kind of put behind on the projects they want to do or need to do back at the facility. So it felt like it was headed this way for a while.
Yeah. They still get pro days, right? Like they can pick and choose kind of like, okay, these guys, we want to go. Like there'll be more staff at like Georgia's pro day. And
my expectation is that we'll probably, because like you said, Perry, like it's kind of seems to be headed this way league wide. As more and more teams do this, I think the NFL will mandate that the head coaches show up because it is a television show, you know, and GMs aren't on camera on the sideline week after week. You know what I mean? Those coaches, those head coaches, they're television stars. They are TV facing guys who, for better or worse, they're the face of your franchise. They're the face of your team. And to not have those guys in those sessions, answering those questions, just quote, being on the television for NFL Network and others, that I don't think the league will like that as it kind of expands. Yeah. So I expect they'll make the head coaches show up.
I'm sure Matt will love that. Yeah. I mean, and they'll still do the in-person, like where the guys go up to visit at the stadium, right? They invite players up. So there's plenty of time, but yeah, it is a little bit, and it's funny you're saying that. I'm like thinking about like reality TV, like producers of reality TV shows are like, but we have to get them all in a room.
100%.
Like stuff is going to happen when we get them all in a room.
It's a television show. I'm telling you, that's a big part of it. That is a bigger and bigger driver, and that's the reason why it sucks. But next year is the last year that Indy is contracted to have the combine. They're going to start moving it, and I have zero doubt it's going to be in LA, and then eventually it'll go to other places because they've had such success with that with the draft. And I don't think it'll be as big as the draft, but if you're getting 250,000 people in Philadelphia for the draft, you'll get a decent sized crowd for wherever the combine ends up.
Because you see Mark Murphy hosting the combine at the Rush Center and like just having to have like the media come.
I tell you what, there'd probably be a better chance of Green Bay getting the combine than there is of them getting the draft at this point, just because the draft is so huge.
Yeah, maybe it's like, look, we can do this. Maybe if we can prove we can do this, then maybe we can get the draft.
Maybe that leads to them getting the draft. I would hope so. And I know they really want the draft and they thought they were close a couple of times, but the bigger that event gets, the harder it's going to be for the Packers to sell the league on it.
They got to get some more housing up there.
A lot of hotels. A lot of hotels.
Yeah. Mag, any questions on your end?
Yeah, so I was just going to ask before we dive into like players and position groups, you know, at the combine, obviously we have no news on Aaron Rodgers. We don't know what's going on with that. You know, the darkness retreat didn't yield any answers for us at this point.
We're still in the dark.
That was clever. Good job, Perry.
Thanks.
but do you think the draft strategy at all changes? You know, and let's not even count picks in this. Whoever is the quarterback, Rodgers or Love, or maybe they draft someone in the top 15, does the draft strategy look different depending on who's throwing the football in Green Bay?
It's interesting because you want to say no, right? Because the idea being that you want to build the best team possible, collect the best players, regardless of who the quarterback is. I will say, though, I do think it changes a little bit if Jordan is your quarterback, simply because that means that Aaron has been traded, right? And because of that trade, your ability to go get guys in free agency is significantly hampered. Yeah. You know, the cap hit from trading Rodgers is significant and really lessens your ability to work in free agency. So I would suspect, and I don't know if it if it pushes, maybe it kind of manifests itself most likely if there are two guys with similar grades. I think you're going with a guy who's played a lot and who can maybe hopefully hit the ground running a little bit more than some smaller school prospect or a guy who doesn't have a ton of production. You probably go with the guy who can help you right away simply because you're going to have to help your young quarterback. And that's I think that's the one area where it may make a difference. But ultimately, I would suspect the way the Packers view the draft, it's a long-term investment. They don't want to be too reactionary in the sense of, okay, we've got to draft this because we've got this young guy at QB and, you know, that domino falls. And I just don't think they're going to look at it that way. But I do think, like I said, it could be a potential tiebreaker if they have similar grades on guys.
I feel like they really do like best player available. Like they really, really stick to that. So I agree.
They try. I mean, sometimes it's, it's always like, best player available at a position of need, right?
But I agree with you that like from a developmental standpoint, like could I see if Jordan's under center, but I even feel like this way with Rodgers, right? If they're going all in, they want their guys right now to contribute immediately. So they're not going to go with a Rashawn Gary type edge rusher who needs two seasons to go. You know, they're going to go with a guy who's like ready to go. It's kind of how I feel too. But I actually don't know if I feel like that changes because you're either all in and like this is the last season that you're trying to get to the Super Bowl with this man, or you have the new guy and you need support for him.
I think there's something too, though, to be said, like even, you know, whatever happens with your draft strategy, like, yes, Aaron Rodgers has always said that people come to Green Bay to play with him. But if Aaron Rodgers leaves, look at Bud Dupree. Like, are there free agents now that are going to say, like, yes, let me go to a Packers team that has this completely unproven commodity at quarterback, and they're looking at, you know, a rebuild? Whereas if
that's
Aaron Rodgers is here,
really good point. That's
you're like, really hey, maybe this is the year they go all in, and we can come play with Aaron Rodgers for a year, and then just continuously kick the can down the road. Like, what does that do to your free agency?
Yeah. It's already not exactly the destination.
What?
And like money.
What are you talking about?
Sorry. Like money talks, right? But the Packers don't really have much of that either.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I mean. Like in the sense that if Aaron is there, they have a little bit more to play with.
Yeah, but has Aaron really been a pull? Like, come on. Has Aaron really been a pull?
What's so funny is like, who are the two big names that have come while he's there, like specifically cited him in their like introductory press conference?
Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Graham.
Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Graham. Both of whom flamed out or were less than inspiring. Yes, correct.
Yeah, I would really love, I mean, not to divert too much away from the combine, but like I personally would just like to see the Packers get younger. So if they're going to go after free agents, like I'm not looking, I'd be a little disappointed if they sign Allen Robinson. Like, I'm just like, we're going to do this again. Like, we're going to do the same thing again.
The thing is, it's all cost though, right? Like, well, of course you'd love someone younger, but if you can get someone on the cheap and someone who's played in the league, you need a veteran, or they want a veteran. They've said that, right? So it's funny because I put that out there today, my yes, no, maybe, and Allen Robinson was a maybe. And it's like, well, yeah, no, I don't think they're going to spend big money on the guy. And yeah, does he look washed? A little bit. But if he's cheap labor and his guy who's played in the league and a guy, by the way, who they've had interest in before.
Yeah.
Remember, it came down to the Packers and the Bears and he chose the Bears. So there's history there, you know.
What a very weird decision.
I'll take Robert Woods if we're going to talk about.
I'm down with that too. That's another maybe, 100%. But again, it comes down to the price. It comes down to can they work some? Because everyone's like, it's so funny because everyone's like kills the Sammy Watkins signing for good reason. He flamed out. He wasn't pretty much what you expected. He couldn't stay healthy, etc. But man, they got him for peanuts.
Yeah.
So of course that signing made sense. I get it.
It was the lowest risk. Like
it's not like they've got much more to play with this offseason.
Yeah. So before we go into the prospects, like you're out there, you're hearing things, you're in the bars, I assume. Like anything, any like rumors or news that you got at the combine, any, either it's been already like put out there into the Twitterverse or not, that you like, not the stuff that you take with a grain of salt, the stuff that you're like, this might have like legs to it.
Nothing substantial. You know, a lot of people guessing about Aaron's future, but that's,
it's all guessing.
I'm sure
it's a lot of guesswork. And like, to Aaron's point, you know, if you're not in the inner circle, you don't know. Like, it's funny because I talked to someone from Athletes First. That's Aaron's agency. And even in the building, they're like, we have no idea. Like, I'm sure like David Dunn has an idea, but that's about it, you know? So there was a lot of that.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.